I love Uncle Rube, Miss Annie Mae. They do a great job, man. They just hold the fort, don't they? Exodus chapter 3. A lot of good stuff in the Bible. Man, it just amazes me. I find stuff. Every preacher does, you know. And we was talking about it the other day, me and Brother Robert, some of us. And it's hard. Preachers have a hard time reading their Bible because you spend so much time on sermons. It's hard to get through. I try to do at least 5 chapters a day. My goal is 10 chapters a day. And I make that about 3/4 of the time. And that'll get you about 3 times a year, 10 chapters. I say, Lord, I'm going to get 5 chapters if I have to stay up to 4:00 in the morning. And sometimes it takes me 4 or 5 hours literally to get through 5 chapters. Because I'm finding sermons all over the place. And you spend sometimes working on them, finding stuff, and Lord just feeds you. Exodus chapter 3, and I was reading this a while back, and I just said, Lord, I want a message on this. I want a message. And there's a lot of stuff here. In Exodus chapter 3:1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you read angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, that's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word angel means appearance or messenger. It's a transliteration of the Greek word angelos. And it means a messenger appearance. When you read that, that's the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And it occurs 68 times in the Old Testament. There's a great book about it. If you want to read it, Brother Lawrence Vance has a great book called Angel of the Lord. It's about 100 pages, and it's a really good book. But at verse 2, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame out of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called on him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not thy hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, from the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And boy, there's just 200 sermons in there. There's just so much in there that it's unbelievable. And this is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible about Moses. And it's one of the most attacked stories in all the Bible. Before I get started, I'm just going to ask my brother David Beard, would you take us, the Lord, before the message and ask God's blessing upon the message? Amen. 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 This is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible about Moses going up there to the burning bush. Everybody knows about that. And it's one of the most attacked. It's the first observable supernatural event found in the Bible. Because, you know, of course, you've got the rapture of Enoch and you got the flood of Noah. And it said the windows of heaven were open. You know, the great deep was open. And you got, you know, the untimely birth of Isaac through Sarah. But all of those, you know, you can kind of explain somewhat into a natural consequence. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, it said it rained fire down from heaven and all. But this one, God just stepped out of the natural world and he stepped out and he stepped into the life of a man named Moses and met him there on Mount Horeb up there in the backside of a desert. And it's been one of the most attacked stories in all the Bible. And I was reading about one Christian author, a Christian infidel, I call him. He said the miraculous burning bush was the shimmering heat of the desert under the blaze of the eastern sun, and that the bush just really seemed like it was on fire. This other author I was reading saw this, and Alexander Fletcher says that the burning bush, he attributes it to the plant Dictamus. He said the plant Dictamus
intermittently under unclear conditions, the plant accretes a vast amount of volatiles that it'll light itself and set itself on fire. That's what happens, see. God didn't set it on fire. It's just the heat got up there. And this other guy, I read this on the internet, he said that Moses was high on drugs is what the problem was. He says this, that's true, this is a professor, he's an Israeli professor of cognitive philosophy. That tells you right there, he's cuckoo right there. Writing in the British Journal of Time and Mind, he claims that Moses was probably on psychedelic drugs when he received the Ten Commandments from God, and the assertions give a whole new meaning to Moses being high on Mount Sinai. Amen, it says. According to Shannon, a professor of Hebrew University, two naturally existing plants in the Sinai Peninsula have the same psychedelic components as the one found in the Amazon jungle and are well known for their mind-altering capabilities. He says this, as far as Moses on Mount Sinai is concerned, it was either a supernatural cosmic event, which I don't believe, or a legend, which I don't believe, or finally that this is probably an event that Moses and the people of Israel under the effects of narcotics. The description in the book of Exodus of thunder, lightning, and a blaring trumpet are the classic imaginings of people under the influence of narcotics. As for the version of the burning bush, and obviously that too was a drug-fueled hallucinogenic, in the advanced forms of narcotics, the seeing of light is accompanied by profound religious and spiritual belief. You know what I think about that? That's my scientific explanation. That's about as clean as I can make it too, by. I mean, brother, I'm going to tell you, all the cuckoo clocks, birds aren't cuckoo clocks, they're teaching in universities, amen? Amen. I like this little boy one time, he went to Sunday school and he came home, he said, his mama said, well son, what'd you learn about? He said, well mom, our teacher told us how God sent Moses behind enemy lines on a rescue mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And when he got to the Red Sea, he had his engineers build a pontoon bridge and all the people walked across safely. Then he used his walkie-talkie to radio headquarters for reinforcements. They sent bombers to blow up the bridge and save the Israelites. And his mom said, now Johnny, is that really what happened? Is that really what he said? He said, no mom, but if I told you what he said, you wouldn't believe it either. That's what's wrong with a lot of people, amen? They make it up, don't believe it. But God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. It's the first time that God stepped out of the natural world. It's the first time that God just stepped out there and entered in somebody's life like that. And I want to give you a few things about it. I want to say, first of all, I like to say the first thing I see about it, it reveals to me the providence of the Lord. It reveals to me the providence of the Lord. And I read this text the first time a while back. It's been several months, probably even a year maybe, that I started working on this message. And I'm a digger. I like to dig in the Word of God, man. Brother Robert, I like to find that old gold nugget, get my old shovel out, and I'll just dig. I'll spend 10, 20 hours sometime just digging for that old gold nugget, man. I'm trying to find that thing, man, to come in here and give it to you. And when you hear it, you go, wow. Whoa. That's good. We're all trying to do it. And I'm digging and digging and digging, and I'm reading that thing about Moses going up there in the backside of the desert up on Mount Horeb, and he goes there and there's that bush, and I get trying to find me something about that bush. I start digging. Man, I get my shovel, start digging. I say bush, bush, bush. I look at the word bush in the Bible. And I got thinking about, maybe it goes back to the tree. A bush and a tree, Brother Anthony, they're a lot alike. So maybe it goes back to the tree in the Garden of Eden. I start trying to tie it. Maybe the tree of Calvary. I couldn't get nothing there. And I kept picking this message up. I had some more points, but I needed that nugget out of that thing to get it going. And I pick it up a while, Brother Robert, like you do with a message. And I laid it down for a few weeks. And I pick it back up. I was thinking, what about that bush? Where's that nugget? And I began panning for it. I stopped digging, Brother Jeff, and I just started panning for a few flakes now. I got the commentaries out and see if I could find me a few flakes. I found out that word for bush, Brother Robert, is the Hebrew word shina. It means thorny bush. And I got to think, oh yeah, maybe it goes back to the crown of thorns. I kept working at it. It just wouldn't come. I found out the hyssop. that they took and put the blood in and put it on the door, I found out that was a bush. And I kept saying, well, maybe it goes back to that hyssop. And I kept trying to come up with that gold nugget. And I was walking around Cosby Lake talking with the Lord. I like to walk and talk with the Lord. I don't want people walking with me at Cosby. That's when me and the Lord talk. Sometimes people will come up there and want to walk with you. And I'll just stop, sit down like a... Or I just go fast, get away from them. I want to talk with the Lord. And I'm walking and talking with the Lord this week at Cosby Lake, and I'm thinking that bush. Lord, I got a good message, but I need to find that nugget about that bush. What's the big deal about that bush? You know what God told me? Well, it's going to blow your mind, brother. You talk about a nugget. You know what God said? He said that bush is nothing but a bush. I was trying to find something special about that bush. I was looking for something supernatural about the bush, and God said, it's just a bush. That's all it is. You know what it revealed to me? It revealed to me the providence of the Lord. The word providence, it means the act of providing and preparing for future use or application. It means God just used whatever was sitting there, and it happened to be a bush. That's what God come down in. Turn over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Sometimes you know what we do? We can get digging too deep and we can get going too far and the gold nugget is sitting there laying on the ground. God said, it's just a bush. That's all it is. It shows the providence of the Lord. We're always trying to find something big, you know. Blow their mind. Look at Mark chapter 12. Verse 26. And it's touching the dead. They that rise up have not read in the book of Moses. How? In the bush. God spake to them. You said where? In a bush. Look at John, Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Verse 30. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of the mount an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire. In a bush. Just a bush. Look at Acts 7:35. And when Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a king and a ruler and a judge? Whom did God send to be a ruler and deliver by him the angel which appeared to him? In the bush. Because you know what? Too many times we're looking for that supernatural event and that supernatural special thing to try to set us on fire for God. And God just reaches down there and uses a bush. And we miss the whole thing. Reminds me of that preacher one time. You know, preachers, well, especially as a pastor, when you get up here every week, I'm trying to give you something, a little flavor to it, you know. And when you preach every week, you know, and coming up with sermons, you know, you have to come up with something maybe, you know. Preachers will try anything. Like this one preacher, Brother Robert, he was going to preach on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so he got a little boy about 7 years old to get up in the attic of the church. And that preacher was going to preach. He'd say, and the Holy Ghost descended like a dove. And that little boy was going to release a dove. And boy, it's going to fly through the congregation, that dove. Man, you talking about an illustration. That's good stuff. And that preacher got preaching. And he got to that point, that little boy's up there with a dove. And he said, and the Holy Ghost descended like a dove. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And he says, and the Holy Ghost descended like a dove. Nothing happened, Brother Ben. He said, and the Holy Ghost, come down, Holy Ghost. And the little boy said, preacher, the big old cat ate the Holy Ghost. You want me to throw the cat down? And you know what? Sometime, Brother Robert, you know what we need to do? We need to just throw that cat down and just let the fur fire and just preach the Word of God and let her rip. And God said, I just showed up in a bush is where I was at. Because a lot of times, we get away from God, we're looking for that Holy Ghost to come down like a dove. And God said, just throw the cat down, dummy. Go look in the bush. Moses goes up in the mountain. Exodus chapter 3. Looks there and there's a bush. Moses, he didn't call him. in the castles of Pharaoh. You know, bush is not the most attractive plant in the world. I mean, they don't grow flowers much. Don't have a lot of fruit. I mean, those we got in front of the church, I like them. But boy, they keep you busy trimming them. We don't water them. I don't know how they grow like they grow. But I'll tell you, when God reached down to Moses, he just went down and showed up in a bush. It just reveals to me the providence of the Lord. Wasn't in the castle. Hebrews 11:24, it said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was up there in the kingdom, man. Acts 7:22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Hey, God could have called him up there in the castle, but he called him in a bush. Dwight L. Moody said about Moses, he said Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. Then he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert realizing he was nobody. Then finally, the last 40 years of his life, he learned what God could do with a nobody. You know, God met him. Called him in a bush. In a bush. Reminds me of that. Did y'all hear about that illegal immigrant they caught in the bush here recently in Mexico? Y'all hear about it? You heard about it, didn't you? Hear about that? Caught this old illegal immigrant. He was hiding in the bush over there. And they, one of the deportation guys found him, one of the immigration officers. And he brought him out there. And he said, and the Mexican said, me American. Me American. American. And the guy said, you American? He said, see, me American. He said, you're American. I'm going to give you three words, and I want you to make me a sentence with those three words, okay? See. He said, okay, green, pink, and yellow. And the Mexican, he thought a minute, he said, okay. He said, telephone go green, and I pink it up and I go yellow. You know Moses did. That phone went green at that bush, and he picked it up and said, hello, brother. You know what? God speaks in the providence, brother, in the wakes of life. Dwight L. Moody got saved in 1845 in the back of a shoe store. He didn't get saved in the church. 1949. An old cigar-smoking, cursing reprobate had a military, a disc jockey, sitting in a radio station in Pensacola, Florida. A little Baptist preacher came up to him and led him the Lord at the radio station in a bush. It's Peter Ruckman. 1956, a 27-year-old man, boy, young man, walked into a barber shop in Chattanooga, Tennessee, sat down to get a haircut. He'd been to church two or three times his whole life. There's a tract on the table there in 1956. That 27-year-old boy picked it up and started reading it. And he got saved. His name was Tommy Tillman. Say, where did he meet him? He met him in a bush. God saved me at 7:30 Wednesday night in a house in Pleasant Grove, Alabama. You say, where? In a bush. Too many times we're looking for something special. We're looking for that special deal. And God, the providence of God, is in a bush. Amen. You know where I surrendered to preach? In the bathroom. By the toilet, with my hands on the toilet praying at Saunders Leeson across town years ago. God got so real about to kill me. It was in that bathroom on the toilet crying out to God. I said, okay, let's do it. That Wednesday night, I went before the church and made it public. You say, where was it? In a bush! In a bush! It shows the providence of the Lord. God showed up in a bush. Where's God? He's in a bush. There he was one time in Hebrews, over in Matthew chapter 4. He walked over there and there's two men fishing, Peter and his brother, Andrew, and he said, they're over there, you know what they're doing? They're mending their nets fishing. You know what he says? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Immediately left their nest and followed him. You say, where was it? In a bush. You see, God don't have to have a special deal. God don't have to have a special bush. God, the providence of God, will use what's available. And he'll use you where you're at, if you're listening. Everybody's looking for this supernatural experience. And God told me, he said, hey, It's just a bush. Over in Mars Hill, Acts chapter 17, Paul's over there preaching to them. And he says, goes by and they got an altar that says to the unknown God. And Paul goes on and says that they should seek the Lord and happily they may feel after him and find him. Though he be not very far from any one of you. Sometimes we look too deep and look too far and God's over in the bush waiting for us. Like Moses in the backside of a desert. Sometimes we miss the providence of God. We just search too deep. And I see, number one, it reveals to me the providence of the Lord. And I tell you something else reveals to me. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. It reveals to me not just the providence of the Lord, it reveals to me the presence of the Lord. A bush is a bush, is a bush, is a bush, is a bush until God gets in it. And you know what God did with it? God turned that bush into a burning bush and he set it on fire, brethren. And you find out in your Bible, when God gets hold of somebody, brother, when you get saved, God puts a fire inside of you. It reveals to me the presence of the Lord. Moses was never the same after that. Turn to Exodus chapter 2. Get Hebrews 11. Go to Exodus 2. Hebrews 11. Exodus 5. You know what it said in Numbers? It said in Numbers chapter 12 verse 3. It said, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Exodus chapter 2, verse 12. And Moses, talking about Moses, Exodus 2, 12, and he looked this way and that way. When he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him into the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together and said to him, who did the wrong? Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us, intending to kill me as thou killest the Egyptians? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. I want to tell you, the Moses that came down out that mountain after he met that burning bush, he wasn't the same one that went up. God set him on fire, brother, when he got down. Look over to Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Hebrews 11, 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Exodus chapter 5, and afterward Moses and Aaron went and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. And I'm going to tell you, brother, when God gets you get saved, God gets hold of you, he'll set a fire in you. And that Moses came down off that mountain, wasn't the same one that went up. It reveals to me the presence of the Lord. When God touched that bush, brother, he set it on fire. John Wesley said, somebody asked him, said, how do you get all the crowd? You come here, you preach. He said, God set me on fire. And he said, they watched me come burn. You know what God did to me? Set me on fire. Brother, we could get on fire for God. God would do something. I like that illustration that time about that atheist. They tried to get to come to church, never could get him to come to church. One day the church burned down and the church was on fire. Miss Bond, he's standing out there watching the church burn down, and some of the Christians run up there and kind of kicked him, kid him, said, I thought I'd never see you at church. He said, I never thought I'd see the church on fire either, amen. You know what? God's people get on fire. You know what? It stir people up, brethren. Moses had a fire to reveal the presence of the Lord. When God touched that bush, brother, he set it on fire. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah said, I'll not make mention of him. He said, nor speak any more in his name. He said, but his word was in mine heart like a burning fire shut up in my bowels, and I couldn't stay. He revealed the presence of the Lord. That burning bush said about old John the Baptist. He was a burning in the shining light. When the Lord touched that bush, brother, I'm going to tell you, he set it on fire. Those apostles after Jesus Christ were crucified, the Bible said in Mark chapter 14, he all forsook him and fled. Peter denied him 3 times. There when that little damsel coming, he denied him getting a curse. I know not the man. John chapter 20, Peter says over there in John 21, he said, I go a-fishing. He's going back to the old life, is what he said. I'm going fishing. And the Bible said, they all said, we're going with you. But I want to tell you, Acts chapter 2, that day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were sitting there, and the Bible said the Holy Ghost began to bleed down there, and it said, appeared to them, cloven tongue, like as a fire. And boy, God sent those scared puppies that were running from their life and turned them into bold lions. You know what they did? They went right back into Israel. You killed him. Read Acts chapter 2. He said, God sent his son. He sent the Prince of Life. And you with wicked hands, you crucified and killed him. With old God, God set them old boys on fire. Acts chapter 4, they began to beat them and said over there. And they beat them and said they lived rejoicing. And rejoicing, saying they were worthy to suffer shame in his name. They told him, they said, if you keep speaking, we're going to beat you. And they said, we cannot help but speak the things we've seen and heard. You say, why didn't preacher? God put them on fire. God set a fire in their soul. It reveals the presence of the Lord. I did a little study in a Bible. You know, I found out there are 425 verses with the word Lord and fire in them. There are 143 verses with the word Lord and love in them. There are 115 with the word Lord and grace in them. There are 227 with the Lord and mercy, but 425 verses with the Lord and fire in it. There are 535 verses with the Lord and burn in it. There are 107 with the word God and fire in it. You know what? God uses the fire to fire them up. God reached down there over in Acts chapter 24. That day they're on the street of Emmaus. You remember that? And Jesus starts talking to them. And one of them said, oh man, didn't our heart burn? Didn't our heart burn when he talked to us and revealed the scriptures to us? And I'm going to tell you, when God saved me, brother, he set me on fire that day. It revealed to me that day in the mountain the presence of the Lord. I watch this show on TV called Mountain Men. Y'all ever seen that? Anybody ever seen that? And that's these guys that go out and survive. You know, they're living up in Alaska. And they're kooky as everything. Man, it takes them all day, you know, and fight and live and eat. And it's 50 degrees below, 14 feet of snow. And they live out in that mess. And I was watching it a while back, and Marty's one of them. And Marty was in his snowmobile hunting. They hunt, you know. And his snowmobile broke down. 20 miles away. 50 below zero. Snow up to his knees. And Marty said, I got to build a fire. He said, if you don't know how to build a fire, you can't survive in this wilderness. He said, the best friend you've got up here is fire. You can survive without food for a while. You can survive without water. But he said, if I don't get a fire, in 15 minutes hypothermia starts setting in. He said, the thing you need to know is how to build a fire in this wilderness. And I'm going to tell you, as a child of God, you got to know how to build the fire of God in this wilderness to survive. It revealed the presence of the Lord. That verse over there, I said, many are called and a few are chosen. Many are cold and a few are frozen. You know what? They need the presence of God in their life. I see there that day, brethren. I see that day, man. Moses up there in that thing. And God comes down, the Lord Jesus, an angel of the Lord, in a bush. Just a stinking bush, Anthony. You know what I am? I'm a bush. Just an ordinary, stupid, little bush. Where I got saved, Brother Robert, he knows me. He knows what I'm talking about. I was this dumb, clumsy, goofy, red-headed, curly-headed, freckle-faced, little bitty, skinny squirt. And that's being nice. I'm telling the truth. I couldn't play no sports. I remember I played last game for last practice I ever had, Brother Ben, was I was about a freshman in high school. And I was down there at the other end. Here come Richard Parks. He was all-state halfback. Son, he's coming 200 miles an hour at me like a locomotive. Snorting. You know what I did? Tried to run off the cotton-picking field. He tracked me down and creamed me. I said, that's it. I couldn't play music. I couldn't do nothing. I had no motivation. I had no goals in life. Nothing. I was clumsy and goofy and dumb. I remember years ago when I was a kid, I've been to church 2 times my whole life before I got saved. One on vacation Bible school. And I went to vacation Bible school. My best friend Richard said, hey, we're going to go to camp. You can go to camp. And I went one day and they said, you got to have a perfect attendance to go to camp. I said, forget it. I'm not going every day to this thing. And then they changed it. Said everybody can go. I guess they just wanted to get me saved. I got nobody here witness to me. I was about 10. Miss Fonda went to Cook Springs. You know what happened to this dumb, clumsy, stupid, little, goofy kid? I fell off the mountain. It broke my arm. And landed. Nobody in the history of Cook Springs, Miss Carol's ever fallen off the mountain. But this dumb, little, clumsy kid did. You know what I did one time? I bit my tongue in half. Right down the middle. All the way to the back. I was running. So goofy. I jumped on the curb and I slipped and fell and my tongue right down the middle. Bit it right in half like my mother Bella had a heart attack. Doctor did too. Playing a little bit later, I'm playing King on the Mountain. I split my leg up. I got a scar that long. We're playing King on the Mountain. My pipe was sticking up and I fell into it. You know what the doctor, Dr. McElroy, this is what he said. I heard him say it. He said, it's about the clumsiest and accident-prone kid I ever seen in my life. He said, you might want to keep him in more. I'm serious. I had no ambition. I had nothing. My next-door neighbor, when I got saved, found God called me to preach, Miss Lee, she told my mother. She said, I guess God knows what he's doing. But he said, I don't see Terry ever preaching. She said, I didn't even know he could talk. I thought he couldn't even talk. I'm going to tell you, brother, God saved me and got hold of me. Brother, he put a fire in me. And I'm going to tell you, before that, I didn't have nothing in me. And I'm going to tell you, God showed up and there's a fire. And brother, it's just burning. Say, what is it, brother? It revealed the providence of God. It revealed the presence of the Lord. Brother, I got me a burning bush from the Lord. God set me on fire. I like what old Tommy Tillman said before he got saved. I love it. Brother Robert, he's super missionary. He told his wife in the book, and I've heard him say it here. He said, I might get saved one day. But he said, if I ever get saved, it'll be between me and the Lord. Nobody else is going to know about it. How'd that work out? I mean, once he got saved, his wife, he'd ever drop him off, he'd hitchhike around the corner, the world leading people to the Lord. He'd been 50 years in the Gobi Desert with a missionary to Thailand, the lepers. Brother Chris, come down the street preaching the first time, Brother Robert, a few years, weeks ago. Bro, he works with Josh. Josh has been ribbing him, trying to get him down there, and never could get him. Finally, he showed up 2 weeks ago. And he showed up, he comes down there, you know, and says, I just came down here because Josh just kept bugging me. That's what he said. He didn't want anything to do with it, did he? He told Brother Anthony, he said, I might get out here and I might hold a few signs up. But he said, I don't plan on doing no preaching. How'd that turn out? I mean, waited about 10 minutes out there, brother. That presence of God and that fire got in him, brother. He took that megaphone running up and down. Say, what is it? It reveals the presence of the Lord. Have you got a fire this morning? Have you got that fire burning in you? Brother, I'm going to tell you, when God gets hold of you, He'll light you and put a fire in there. It revealed the presence of the Lord. Not only that, I'll give you one more thing. It revealed the providence of the Lord. It revealed the presence of the Lord. Whew. I got a fire, Brother Robert. I got it 42 years ago. And I'm telling you, I'm a cross between Alfred E. Newman, madman guy, and Steve Urkel. That was me before I got saved. I was that cool, Brother David. I had no ambition. We was talking about the other day. I told Brother Anthony, I said, before I got saved, I didn't even want a car. Everybody was wanting cars, you know. Randy had a nice car. And now Biff's asking me about a car. What do I want a car? Where am I going to go? I had no ambition. Where am I going to go? I just like to sit around, smoke dope, and say, ha! You don't need a car to do that. He wasn't going to save me, brother. He puts a motivation and a fire inside of me. It reveals the presence of the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and fed the flock in the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the Lord appeared unto him a flame out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire like this. And the bush was not consumed. That was the first thing God showed me in this verse. It reveals to me the perseverance of the Lord. God will burn and that fire will get hold on you. But I'm going to tell you, brother, that old bush, it'll just keep on burning. I think of my good friend, Brother Bob Smith up there, man. Can't get out of bed. I called him all last week, Brother Anthony. Finally, about 50 times calling, he called me back. Ah, preacher, I'm just in bed all the time. I said, well, come up there and have a little Sunday afternoon service. Ah, preacher, you mean I got to get out of bed and put my clothes on? That help? No motivation. I mean, that body's consumed. That old mind's consumed. But I'm going to tell you, brother, that burning bush is still burning in him. Boy, you get talking to him about God, and he comes alive. Just a couple of weeks ago, he led that boy to the Lord and cut his grass. The mind's gone, the mind's consumed, the body's consumed, but that old burning bush is not consumed. That old fire God put in there, Brother Robert, that thing's glowing. Woo! I got a call last week from my good buddy Marvin Glass. He's wonderful, Miss Rachel. Miss Rachel used to call him Marvelous Marvin, 88 years old. Called me up last. He calls me about once a month. What happens? He loses my number. And he'll find it on the track. And he'll call me. And he's got dementia so bad. His heart's down to about 10%. His kidney's down to about 10. Got dementia. He falls, breaks his arm, collarbone, all that. And he'll call me sometimes. And we'll talk a few minutes. And he'll hang up, and he'll call me back 10 minutes, and we'll have the same conversation. He forgets he ever called me. I just go along with him. He called me this week. He said, Brother Terry, how you doing? I always ask about Uncle Reuben and Auntie May. He said, Brother Terry, he said, I want you to pray for me. I said, Brother Marvin, what should we pray about? I thought he was going to pray about his health. He has never, ever, ever asked me to pray about his health. Mr. Lane has. I said, Brother Marvin, what you want me to pray about? He said, you pray God give me one more show. Just one more show. That's what he always says. Say, what is it? The old body's shot, the mind's shot. I mean, he's just about gone, but that old bush is not consumed, Brother Robert, and that thing is burning bright. I asked him, I said, Brother Marvin, you led him by the Lord lately. He said, no, what, hey? He said, I might be able to get out, you know, like I used to. But he said, I led a girl to the Lord last week at Walmart. See, he thinks you got to lead some every hour, every day. Last week to him, like it's been a while. He said he led the Lord coming out of the bathroom. You say him going to heaven, you lost him going to hell is what I asked her. She said, I don't know. He said, you've never been born again then. He said, you need to get born again. Say, what is it? The mind's gone, the body's gone, not much left, but all that bush is burning where God reached down and lit that old fire. It's still a-going, man. And the bush is not consumed. It shows a preservation of the Lord. Woo! Look at that verse over there. Look at verse 3. And Moses said, he said, I'm going to now turn aside. I like this. And he said, I want to see this great, great sight while that bush is not burned. I want to tell you, one of the greatest things you'd ever see is to see that old saint of God. I mean, when the body's failing, but that bush is still burning. What a great sight. Called up Brother Bob. Talked to him about the Lord. Called me up about a month ago, Brother Bob, Robert. He called me up and he was crying. I thought he was having a heart attack, Miss Vonda, or sick or something. He called me up, oh, preacher, oh, preacher, oh, preacher. Oh. I'm getting on the other phone, getting ready to dial 1-911. You know what happened, Brother David? He just led a man to the Lord. It's like a month ago. I want to tell you, that bush is burning, brother. That bush is burning. Miss Maggie, Brother David, talked about her back and her head and all the problems she's had. And Brother David's laying up here in the hospital, man. And I mean up there, this is when he was in bad shape. You know what Miss Maggie did? She led a little nurse to the Lord. I mean, she didn't feel good. Her husband's up there. But I want to tell you, brother, she was still burning. That bush was not consumed. She still had enough to reach out there and tell that little nurse about the Lord. It reveals to me the perseverance of the Lord. That Cleghorn family's unbelievable. I got their letter up here. I mean, they're unbelievable. I mean, Brother Robert, they got 11 kids. They got 11 kids. And they play instruments. They're unbelievable. They play every instrument known to man. One of the kids' name's Hannah. She's got a Lyme disease. They're missionaries in Indonesia, one of the most Muslim countries in the world. Here's their prayer letter. Please attach our latest complete newsletter because of the content. UPS Post is the most secure way to keep you informed. Please, this letter does not contain our names or contact information because we have mentioned specific events, thus the need for this cover. Please do not scan or post this in any electronic form. It says, cause they'll kill them if they find out what they're doing over there. They got a little girl, Hannah. She got the Lyme disease. She's not over there. She's over in the United States. Some of you met her when they were here. Got a disease, deadly disease. Has to have her food weighed and all. She's so sick. They got a boy. He was in Bible school in Chicago. A thug robbed him delivering pizza. Shot him 9 times. Ended up hooked on narcotics before he got through. Here's this couple. They got their kids over there. And they're in Indonesia in a Muslim country. A while back she sent a newsletter. And she was so excited. She was so excited. Her husband, he found a piece of cart, piece of plywood. Y'all remember that? She said he found a piece of plywood in the back in the garbage dump. And he made them a table for the kitchen. A few months ago, she had the same thing my wife did over there with no doctors or anything. Having all that problem. She lost 30-something pounds before she got through. She doesn't weigh much now. I mean, goes through all that. In this newsletter, she talks about she's got shingles on her eye and her scalp and her face. And lying bad has been painful. It's all over her body. You say, why don't they quit? Because the bush is not consumed. Brother, there's a fire in them, brother. And that stuff don't matter. I'm going to tell you, God sets that fire on you. It reveals the perseverance of the Lord. God sets you on fire, brother. That thing keeps going, man. You know what God does? And that bush is not consumed. I mean, Tommy Tillman, 14 heart stents. Came here a while back, the day before he had 13 teeth pulled without anesthesia. 3 years ago, his daughter, Teresa, died, who was one of the members, one of the workers in his ministry, the secretary. The next summer, his daughter, Lisa, died. 3 or 4 months ago, his grandson, Jordan, 31 years old, the one that took him around, was part of the ministry, died unexpectedly. His wife's an invalid, blind, sitting in a bed in Nashville. He's over there with the lepers in the Gobi Desert. Somebody said, why don't he quit? Because that bush is not consumed. That thing keeps burning, burning, and burning. God puts that fire in you, brother, and I'm going to tell you, everything else is dim. It shows the preservation, the perseverance of the Lord. God warns us several times. You know what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:19? It said, quench not the Spirit. See, when God saved you, if you're truly saved, you're really saved, a fire started. The Holy Ghost of God came in you, and there should be a fire in there. You know what the word quench means? It means to extinguish. That's what it means. When you quench a fire, you put it out. The Bible warns us, don't quench the Holy Ghost. I was looking at a sermon last night from an old preacher, and it was titled, Keep the Fire Burning. Keep the fire burning. He said in that article, this old preacher, he'd been preaching for 50-something years. I was reading, he said, I've seen Christians let that fire go out, and he said, it's so hard to start back up. He said, most of the time it never gets started. Keep the fire burning. Keep it burning. You know what it reveals? The providence of God is just a bush. It reveals the presence of the Lord. Have you got a fire in you today? It reveals the perseverance of the Lord. You see those old men of God, man, they just keep going. Brother, that fire just keeps burning. That bush is not consumed. Turn to get a red book. Let's turn to page 370. Revive us again. You know, I was looking at this too. In Leviticus chapter 6, all throughout the Old Testament, God created that altar. Leviticus 6:12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall never, never be put out. Verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never, never go out. He keeps saying, it can't go out. You know what happened when that fire went out? You know what happened when Israel let that fire go out? God wiped them out. Nebuchadnezzar, 606 B.C. Daniel came in, wiped Israel out. They weren't a nation until 1948. I mean, every country in the world has persecuted them. Hitler killed 6 million of them, all that stuff. And God kept telling them, don't let the fire go out. When that fire went out is when God wiped it off, brethren. Don't let the fire go out. We're going to turn to page 370. I ask you to stand. We're going to read, we're going to sing the last verse first. This old boy, I've told you about this guy. He's a doctor. Look at this last verse. Some of you, the fires went out. Some of you not where you need to be. Look at this last verse. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Let's sing the last verse first, and we'll go back and sing the other three. If God spoke to you, do something. Do something. Do something. This church is seeing revival. We're seeing a movement like I hadn't seen in a long, long time. Long time. You need to get in. You need to get in this thing. You're going to get left behind. On the third, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us. God spoke to you. Praise thee, O God, of thy love.